Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" What a striking contrast it is between Nicodemus and this woman that Jesus encounters at the well. They have a lot of similarities, but they have a lot of differences as well. Maybe the most obvious of those is that Nicodemus approaches Jesus. He is the one who comes to Jesus and asks him questions. On the other hand, Jesus, as he's traveling, he stops at this well, he sits down by the well, and he encounters the woman, and he approaches her, and he begins the dialogue with her. She's not coming for some kind of spiritual guidance. He is the one who opens the door and begins this conversation. Jesus has just left this situation with Nicodemus not too long before we get to the story of the woman at the well. And when she's encountered a religious elite, one with authority, who has questions about spiritual matters, and he engages him in these questions. And what we find at the end of this story is that Nicodemus is found not having any answers. "Are you the teacher of Israel?" he says, "and you don't know these things?" And yet with the story of the woman at the well, in just a short encounter, she comes away with practical knowledge and understanding. I think sometimes we have in our minds the way things should go when we sit down with somebody to talk about Jesus. You know, maybe we have a little book that we follow, or maybe we show them some films, and of course, the person with the right heart, you know, you show them the first and second and third film, and immediately they're ready to give everything up and follow Jesus. Or you go through the book with them, and when you get to the end and you've proven your point, now they're ready to fall on their knees and confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Now, we know that's the way we imagine it, or the way that we like for things to happen, but at the same time, we know that's not reality. And we also know that things happen in very peculiar sorts of ways. I have sat down with people who I have thought had no hope, no chance of believing what I'm talking to them about. Just in my own earthly perspective, as I'm sitting down with this person and discussing with them the gospel, I think there's no way they're going to accept this and do what the Bible says. And yet, to my surprise, sometimes they're the most willing. I've sat down with people who I think we're on the same page, we're getting it, we're together, we're reading scripture, and they're nodding their head, and they're agreeing week after week after week after week. And yet still they're not coming to Jesus. And what I'm trying to say to you tonight is, as we look at the story of Nicodemus and the woman at the well, sometimes things go beyond our earthly comprehension or our earthly perspective when we interact with people. And we don't always understand why things happen the way that they do. And what we see here with Jesus is he's interacting with Nicodemus. He's speaking to him about kingdom matters. And he's interacting with the woman at the well, and he's speaking to her about kingdom matters. And yet the stories in some ways are just so different, even though they're so much the same. Do you see that in the stories? What I want us to see here is that salvation is for everyone, and sometimes it comes to people whom we least expect. Sometimes it is a struggle for the people whom we least expect. And those realities are borne out in these stories with Nicodemus and this woman at the well. We need to understand, first of all, that people come to faith from different places and at different paces. I think this is an encouragement for us because it is a struggle, especially maybe with family or with a close friend. Maybe we've been interacting with a friend and we think that they're really understanding. We think that they're ready to give themselves to Jesus. And it seems like they're right there on the doorstep, and yet it's just delay after delay. And that can become discouraging. But we need to understand that people don't always come to faith at the same pace. Maybe we've had some other experience where someone in just a few studies, they realize what they need to do, and they're ready at that moment to put on Christ and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And of course, that's a great encouragement. Most of the time when that happens, I sit in amazement and realize, I really haven't done anything here. You know, they really knew what they needed to know before they ever came and talked to me or we ever sat down and discussed scripture. And most of the time, they're giving me the answers already. And we're looking through the passages. They already know it, and they're looking for some confirmation, or they want to make sure that they're understanding it the right way, but that they're ready to go. And I realize that's the power of the gospel. And it really has nothing to do, in essence, with something I'm doing. Yet it's hard to see it from the other perspective. For the person, maybe the one who's like Nicodemus, who has the truth right before them, and yet repeatedly will choose not to open their eyes and see it for what it is. Just notice the contrast between these two individuals as we're thinking about the reality that people come from different locations. Their faith, they're at different places in their faith, and they're growing in their faith at a different pace, at a different speed. They both ultimately get there, I believe, but it doesn't always happen exactly the same way. But think about the difference between these two people, the difference in their attitude. You know, Nicodemus, he seems fairly sincere. He seems afraid, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but he comes to Jesus And he's saying, hey, we see what you're doing. We know the signs you're doing. And we realize that nobody can do these things unless they're coming from God. Now, you might think this is text, and we don't know how everything is coming across in dialogue. We just have the text before us. And so we could think, well, this is a Pharisee. Maybe he's trying to trap Jesus. But really, that's not the way the story is being told. And it seems to me that Nicodemus, in essence, seems very sincere. And then notice, on the other hand, the woman at the well, and Jesus is interacting with her. And it seems that maybe four or five times, at least, there are at least hints of sarcasm in the things she's saying. At the very outset, she's very hesitant to the sorts of things that Jesus is saying to her. Nicodemus seems puzzled, but he seems to sincerely be coming to Jesus to find answers. And as Jesus so often does, he turns the subject to maybe something Nicodemus wasn't expecting and throws him off a little bit and confuses him. But he's a seeker. He wants to know the truth, and that's why I think he ultimately comes to truth as we get to the end of the story. But at least right now, here in John 3, he's very confused. And by the end, he's asking, how can this be? How can this be that you're born again? And of course, he's missing what Jesus is actually saying. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But the woman, her attitude doesn't seem to be quite as good in many ways as Nicodemus. As we read that encounter, and you heard the story, she's saying, well, you give me this water so I don't have to come back and draw water anymore. She seems to be a little bit facetious with him. Certainly, Nicodemus knew Jesus. When he comes to him, and he says, we know you're from God. I think speaking likely for those who realize this is somebody special. I don't think he's trying to trap Jesus here. And he says, we know, the people who really see you, we realize that all the things you're doing, they can't be done unless you're coming from God. On the other hand, the Samaritan woman has no idea who he is. It's just this guy who sits down at the well and starts talking to her, which is strange because he's a Jew, and why would he be talking to a Samaritan? Nicodemus, from all we know, is fairly moral. He's an upright man. And for whatever faults he may have had, what we know about him was he was a Pharisee, dedicated to purity and holiness, which we all realize could have taken him down roads that weren't entirely accurate. But when it comes to morality, we would assume he was a moral person. On the other hand, the woman, Jesus points out her gross immorality, the greatness of her immorality, that she has not been living in the way that a Jew would live. The Samaritans would have considered themselves Jews, even though the Jews didn't consider them Jews. And although their perspective of religion, which does enter into the dialogue here, is off, they still believed in Yahweh, in a sense, and believed in morality. And this woman likely was not even accepted among her own people, among the Samaritans. She's coming to the well by herself. Probably somewhat of a stigma in terms of who she is. She's had five husbands. This one's not even her own that she's with. Jesus is pointing this out to her. She is the antithesis of Nicodemus, the man of morality. She's a Samaritan, and he's a Jew, a Jewish ruler, in fact. He's a Pharisee, a man of the law of Moses. And she's probably a mixture somewhat of monotheism, polytheism. Although they believed in Yahweh, there's plenty of evidence the Samaritans were also bringing in forms of idolatry at times. Pretty prevalent in their society. And it would have been easy for that to be something that's confusing. And so it is very likely that this woman is in that type of culture, in that type of environment. But notice, again, how Jesus reacts to them as we're noticing the contrast. See, in some ways, is very abrasive with Nicodemus almost immediately. And on the other hand, he's very patient with the woman at the well. Maybe it's his level of expectation. He looks at Nicodemus and what he is and what he proclaims to be. And as he says at the end, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Maybe his level of expectation is a little higher for Nicodemus. And so he's rejecting some of the things he's saying very abruptly. Or he's coming at him with very spiritual sorts of ideas, and Nicodemus isn't catching on to those. And so Jesus is coming down harshly upon him. And he does, in many ways, much the same with this woman at the well, but yet he's a little bit more patient with her, and he brings her along through the discussion. And what I want us to see in all of this, again, is that salvation is for everyone. And there isn't just a stock person, individual out there, as we roam around in our lives through work or through our hobbies or whatever, and say, okay, here's a candidate for the gospel. This person is the type of person that sets up for me to talk about Jesus. Now, we have two very different people here in John 3 and in John 4. We have a woman in John 4 whom all of us, I would say, if we're looking at this objectively, and everyone there also would say, her life is a mess. That's how we would see it. She's had all kinds of marriages. She's living with a guy right now that's not even her husband. She's a Samaritan. She's not worshiping at the right place. I mean, all the things in her life are array. They're not where they're supposed to be. And on the other hand, we have Nicodemus, the religious elite. And Jesus encounters both. And eventually both come to faith. But they do it in their own way and from their own place. To me, at least, I think John 3 and 4 are passages that are encouraging. They're also passages that are a warning. They're a warning to those of us in a place like this who would consider ourselves religious, that we aren't closing our eyes to reality, that we're open to truth, and that we are perceiving what the truth is. That's not really the focus of what I want to talk about tonight. But that's there. But it's also, there's a sense of encouragement here as we interact with people. And maybe sometimes we're discouraged by what we see, by what we witness, whether it's the Nicodemus type or whether it's the woman at the well type. Or maybe we're trying to share spiritual ideas. We're trying to engage in spiritual conversation. And at least at the outset, it's a no-go. There's no connection. We're not communicating on the same level. And we wonder, how are we ever going to connect? How are we ever going to get this person to understand the truth of the gospel that we're trying to show in our words or by the way that we're living when they're seeing things in such a material sort of way? So people come to faith in their own pace and from their own place. That's the first reality. The second is that people who are people of salvation are those who see spiritual things above material. People who are going to enter the kingdom, people who are going to be saved by God through his Son, they're the type of people who eventually are going to see the spiritual above the material. And that's exactly what we have going on here in this story with Nicodemus. We ultimately have to get there with him. It doesn't happen here. And the woman at the well. They're in very different places when Jesus encounters them and begins talking with them. And as he has these dialogues with these two people, he's bringing them along in very different ways in some senses. But at the same time, the theme that runs through both stories is he's speaking to them in a very spiritual sort of plane. He's telling Nicodemus, you have to be born from above. And what Nicodemus hears is you have to be born again. There's some ambiguity there in the language that's being used. But the point is, Nicodemus is not seeing it from a spiritual perspective. He's only seeing it from a material perspective. And immediately he's thinking, how can I be born again? How can I enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born? And all the while, Jesus is saying, you have to be born from above. You have to be a child of God, a child of heaven. And in chapter 3, there's more ambiguity than that. He talks about the spirit and the wind and all this language that really has double meanings all the way through with Nicodemus, things that Nicodemus should have understood as a religious leader, which is part of Jesus' point. But Nicodemus' struggle, and the woman at the well initially, is that they only see from a material perspective. So Jesus says, if you understood who this was who was speaking to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Well, the woman recognizes that Jesus doesn't have anything to get water with. And she sees that the well is deep. And even more than that, she knows that living water isn't found in wells for the most part. She's connecting the dots here. She understands that something Jesus is saying here is very strange. It's very odd. But in her difficulty to grasp what he's getting at, she's still thinking on a very physical level. Well, give me this water. She said, give me this water. That way I don't have to come here and draw water anymore. I want to have this water. And of course, as they go through the dialogue, she's discovering that he's not really talking about physical water. The same is true in chapter 6 when he talks about the bread of heaven, the living water and the living bread, as he calls them there. It's not about physical bread. It's not about being satisfied in a human way. He's talking about something much bigger than that, much grander than the physical and the material. And what Nicodemus is struggling with in chapter 3 with this idea of being born again into the kingdom, and that you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born of water and the Spirit. And what the woman is having trouble understanding about the living water in chapter 4 is the reality they're thinking only on a material plane. They're not thinking on the spiritual plane. Now, with the woman, it's a little bit more understandable. She has no idea who Jesus is. He could be some crazy guy, for all she knows. You know, Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus. He knows he's a man from God. And he's still not connecting the dots in the way Jesus is trying to get him to see it. And again, this goes back to the first point I was making, that people, their faith is at a certain point, and they're coming to greater faith at their own rate of speed, and we can't push people along faster than they're able to go. And what is amazing about this woman as Jesus is talking to her is that she picks up on the spiritual faster than Nicodemus does. By the end of the story, she's leaving her water jar at the well and running back to town. Did you ever notice that? You know, she's come here probably quite a ways. It's a little bit of a distance here to walk to a well a lot of times to get water. She's getting water probably to supply the daily needs. And this discussion with Jesus, a very strange kind of discussion, probably from her perspective, she ends up figuring out, and he says pretty plainly to her that he is the Messiah. He is the Christ, something that Nicodemus, in some sense, is already knew when he goes into this discussion. He knows this guy is a special man. He doesn't exactly know how, but he knows he's special even when he enters the discussion. This woman doesn't know that at all, and when she perceives he's a prophet, now she begins asking her most imminent needs in a spiritual perspective. You know, that you say to worship on this mountain, we worship on this mountain. Now, some will say she's trying to distract from the conversation. I don't think that's true at all. I think essentially what's happening here is she realizes this is a spiritual man at this point. She perceives he is a prophet, that he has answers. And her pressing need from a spiritual standpoint is to understand this very important concept. The Jews say that worship happens in the temple, at the holy place in Jerusalem. That's where God dwells. We meet here on Mount Gerizim. Which one is it? That's not a bad question. That would be similar to us asking a question about what is the temple of God today? We understand the temple of God is his people, it's his congregation. And are we right when we come and we meet together with the people we meet with? Is this right, Jesus? That's kind of what she's asking. And of course, it's not going to be about locations and temples, physical temples. And Jesus gets through that answer, and then by means of doing that, exposes the reality that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ. And after he has done that, once he has told her, I am the Christ, it says, the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Nicodemus goes away asking, how can these things be? Again, people are different. And just because someone walks away without answers, someone goes away without confessing Jesus as Lord and being baptized for the remission of their sins, doesn't mean the word has failed. It doesn't mean the seed hasn't been planted. It doesn't mean that they're not coming to faith. The woman at the well, those are the stories we love. You know, we go to some other country or we meet somebody in this country just on the street and we begin talking with them. And by the end of the day, they've put on Christ. Man, those are the stories we love to talk about and we love to hear, but they're not the stories the way they typically go. More often, they're like Nicodemus, where it takes time, it takes dedication and diligence and patience with people as they're coming to a knowledge of truth, as they're allowing their faith to grow. The context is filled with conflicts between the material and the spiritual. And the people in the story, Nicodemus and the woman, they have to overcome this focus on the material world to get themselves to the point where they're thinking on the spiritual level. For Nicodemus, I think it was overcoming fear. He's coming to Jesus at night. Under the cover of night, he doesn't want to be seen. By chapter 7, in verse 50, Nicodemus, he offers kind of a guarded defense of Jesus. The other rulers, they're ready to string Jesus up. They're ready to get rid of him, to kill him. And Nicodemus kind of throws out there, hey, do we condemn somebody before we hear their defense? That's about all he says. And they say, hey, are you a Galilean too? They begin to immediately criticize Nicodemus for even giving Jesus a chance. But he is kind of taking a step here by chapter 7. He's putting himself out there a little bit more. He's not doing it at night anymore. Now he's trying to come to his defense just a little. And by the time we get to chapter 19, we see Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus both coming together to help prepare the body of Jesus for the tomb. Taking a very prominent place, taking his body and preparing it for burial, which would have been a great statement of faith in this man. The period of time between John 3 and John 19 would have been pretty long. So Nicodemus didn't believe Jesus and put on Christ in the same hour of the night. But what he did do is allow his faith to grow. And he listened to the message over time. And although it's not the story of the woman at the well, it is a story of success, of growth and faith. And what Nicodemus had to do is, in some senses, overcome his fear. And we know this fear is there because it's talked about right within the story, right within John's narrative. We have John 9 where the blind man is healed. And why is it that his parents don't want to say much about it? That they're worried, they have fear that they'll be thrown out of the synagogue. Why is that? Because the Pharisees had said, if anyone says he's the Christ, we've already decided you're out. They'd already made the decision. For fear, people weren't willing to state their belief. You come to chapter 12. Toward the end of that chapter in John, it says that many of the authorities believed, but they were unwilling to confess because they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. They were afraid. And what we need to see from these stories, from the story of Nicodemus and the story of the woman at the well, is that coming to faith, it's not simple. It's not some basic sort of thing. And although it seems to us very often that it should be easy and that it should be simple, the reality is it is a complex thing, and there's lots of questions, and there's lots of things for people to think about and to overcome. And for Nicodemus, he's having to overcome fear. For the woman, she's having to overcome her cynicism, her doubts. You know, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew talking to a Samaritan. Something is strange here. This is a little bit weird. She's skeptical of sort of some of the things that Jesus is saying to her. She's doubting her feelings, even about what he's saying about the spiritual things, about the living water. And until she comes to the realization that he is the Messiah and accepts that, she's sarcastic. She's rejecting. She seems pretty cynical to religion and to religious things. And I would suggest to you there's a lot more women at the well than we might think. People who think about religion and they think about the religious. And they're pretty cynical toward that. They've been hurt in some way by religion in their mind or by religious people. They've been rejected by religion or by religious people, either in reality or in their minds, that they've had this sense of hurt and pain because of what they perceive to be religion. And so how are we going to handle that situation. I love Jesus' patience with the woman as he's guiding her to truth. And certainly we don't have the knowledge that Jesus has. He knew personal information about this woman's life. That does help. But we certainly can embody the patient spirit that he has with her. He wants her to see he's there to help, not to hurt. He wants to offer her life, not reject her. And the reality is, in coming to faith, there are just obstacles that people have to overcome. There are obstacles that we all have to overcome to spiritual growth, whether it's fear or whether it's the cynicism and doubt of the woman, or whether it's overcoming weariness in life. You know, Jesus is actually an example here of the opposite of Nicodemus and the woman, at least their initial reactions. And maybe you didn't catch that initially, but he comes and he's weary and he's tired and he sits down at the well and he begins interacting with this woman in a very spiritual sort of way. And when the disciples come back and they're trying to get him to eat, he says, "I have food to eat." Talking about the work that he has to do. That's his mindset. An example of how he's able to overcome material, physical obstacles to do what really needs to be done. But the reality is all of us have things to overcome, whether it maybe is the love of possessions or the love of money or the love of acceptance or popularity like Nicodemus is likely having a problem with. This loving of the glory of men rather than the glory of God, which is explicitly stated in chapter 12, or whether it's the lust of the flesh or cynicism and doubt. The feeling of rejection and hurt. There's all kinds of things that are obstacles to faith. Obstacles sometimes that we or people we are dealing with put in our own way. That we imagine that religion is the enemy. That piety, that holiness. We maybe imagine that that's really the problem. Instead of realizing that people are not perfect, but the will of God is perfect. That his message is perfect. What he desires from us is perfect. And that he is not the enemy. Even if people have wronged us, God will not wrong us. God is on our side. He wants to offer us life. He wants us to come to him. And he wants us to receive what he has given to us through Jesus, his son. But coming to faith means a will to step over the obstacles in our way. Some are willing to do this faster than others. The woman, she stepped over her obstacles fairly quickly. Nicodemus takes about 16 chapters, at least in the way it's laid out in John. It takes him a long time. And as we are out trying to share the gospel with those around us, we have to realize that some never will step over the obstacles. And we can't let that become an obstacle to our faith and our spiritual growth and our willingness to do the will of God. Salvation is for everyone. These two stories are, I think, purposely contrasted in John 3 and 4. To help us see the interaction between these two people with the gospel, with the kingdom message that Jesus is giving them, the good news. And we learn some important lessons from it, that people come to faith at their own time and in their own way, and they start at different places, that it takes patience and diligence on our part when we're trying to help someone see the truth. And sometimes our perspective hinders us, is an obstacle to us in bringing people to faith. The woman was short with Jesus. She was sarcastic with him. She was doubting. She was cynical. And yet, by the end of the story, she's the one calling people to Christ. And so it's a lesson for us to never think we have the answer before the story ends. To never think as we're walking around and encountering people, this person will never listen, or this person will never receive the message. that what we can do, like Jesus, is sit down at wells with people, or maybe water coolers, or sit down at lunch tables, and bring up bits of truth, and bits of scripture, and bring up the gospel, and find them where they are in their faith, and as best we can, guide them along to grow to the point in which they're ready to receive Jesus as the Son of God, as the Christ, just like this woman did in John 4. Maybe this evening you are one who's struggling with this question. It could be that you've been here a lot. Maybe you are in a family of believers, and so your whole life you've been coming to worship and you've been reading your Bible, and yet you're still struggling with some of these questions. And maybe in some ways you should know the answers, like Nicodemus, but you're confused and you don't. Don't let that be an obstacle to you. Keep searching. Keep digging. Just because you're not where someone else thinks you should be yet doesn't mean you should stop. The truth is too important. And if you really are the kind of person who wants true answers, there's a lot of people who say they want answers and they don't really search for them. They don't really want answers if they're not searching for them. But if you really want answers and you really want the truth, you'll keep looking and you'll keep seeking until you find what God has there for us. There's a lot of people in this room tonight that can help you in that process. We have a lot of elders and a lot of deacons. Right now we have 3 preachers. We have plenty of other men and women who are very knowledgeable in the truth. Find someone, study with someone, and let your faith grow. Maybe you're a visitor tonight. Maybe you haven't even been in an assembly before, or very infrequently, and you're not even familiar with these stories. That's okay. You don't have to be. But you're a seeker, and you want to know the truth. Those are the kind of people we want. It doesn't matter where you've come from, what your background is, the problems you've had in your life. Look at that woman at the well and all of the immorality in her life, all the things she struggled with, and yet in a moment she's able to come to Jesus and profess him. Maybe that's you tonight. In this instant, this moment, you can change your life forever. Give yourself to Jesus Christ, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and walk away this evening a new person. Can we help you do that tonight? Why don't you come as we stand and we sing together?